Hardy Fiber Cement Siding handles conditions that can cause damage to vinyl. From fire to hail, Hardy Siding stands tall through it all, helping trade professionals look their best when they recommend Hardy Siding and Trim. See the proof at jameshardy.com.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft.
Welcome back into a Friday edition of the Daft on Draft podcast. And as always on Fridays, we are breaking down the weekend slate of games. Sorry, Army Temple. We didn't get to you on Thursday night for everybody who stayed up to watch that game. But this is a very fun slate of games. Very high implications for not only college football landscape as a whole, but for some. There's a lot of really fun 2025 NFL draft matchups to talk about in this slate of games as well. Before we do that, I can't do it by myself. I can't fly this plane alone. So Dalton Miller has once again and will always join the show. So Dalton, what is up?
You know, what is up is I have to ask you the age-old man question. Since you brought up planes and flying, could you, in an emergency,
land a plane? Hell no. Absolutely not. I don't know.
I love that you're like a real person with real objective thoughts.
Like the adrenaline,
nobody could. Part of me, that like, doesn't
the adrenaline would kick in, and I'd probably go straight to like rescue mode of like, okay, well, how do we get these rafts out of the doors? You know, the doors that like fly off and the rafts fly out. Like, how do we get to that? But if we're going down, we're going down. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. All right, let's get into it. We don't have to like talk a lot about Miami, Virginia Tech, but I think we want to bring up Cam Ward.
Because
Cam Ward has been unbelievable so far. Well, we've seen stretches like this from Cam Ward in the past. And then what I lovingly refer to as the Bozo Gene. I don't know if Corey
I call the Bozo Gene as well. Yeah.
But like Josh Allen has the Bozo Gene. Mm-hmm. So like you can be an elite quarterback and have the Bozo Gene. I actually think many of the elite quarterbacks have the Bozo Gene.
You have to know when to release like that second dog. You have to know when to let that second dog out.
Yes.
And it's very sparingly.
And so we're interested to see Cam Ward. And listen, the ACC is not very good. But we do want to see what Cam Ward is going to do over the course of the season and if he is able to keep this up. Because if he is able to keep this up and he interviews well, this could be the savior for the 2024 draft class when it comes to the quarterback position. Because that arm is as live as anybody in the class. And the athleticism is obviously there with him as well.
Yeah, for sure. And it's worth mentioning that Virginia Tech does have two corners, one of which was in Dane Brugler's top 50 as well. So we're talking about Mansoor Delane and we're talking about Dorian Strong. Both those guys, Miami has Sam Brown. So seeing how Sam Brown kind of fares against those guys is probably a match, like probably one of the only matchups to watch because, again, I don't think Miami has much draftable talent along their offensive line, and I don't think Virginia Tech does have some nice players like Anais Peebles and Antoine Powell Ryland who can get after the quarterback a little bit, but not a lot of matchups in the trenches to really keep an eye on. But Cam Ward's going up against some NFL corners, and Sam Brown is going up against some NFL quality corners. So I think those are two things that I'm going to be keeping an eye on. But as you mentioned, yeah. Cam Ward looked like a Heisman frontrunner. He had 16 touchdowns and zero interceptions 6 weeks into the season last year. And then the wheels kind of fell off once he got into Pac-12 play, right? Deep into Pac-12 play at Washington State. So, again, he's doing the same kind of stuff this year where he's lighting up. And he did light up Florida. But, again, Texas A&M's backup quarterback also lit up Florida. So, like, it's hard to tell what kind of program Florida is in a literal swamp right now. So I don't know if that's much of an indication of things. But, you know, now we're going to start getting into some ACC play and can he keep doing it? Are the wheels going to fall off? That Miami team is held together by a lot of NIL transfers. So they don't have a lot of experience playing together. Are they going to be able to continue to roll off like this? So that's what I'm really interested in. And, you know, Cam Ward, again, we've talked about the arm angles, the velocity, the way the ball just explodes out of his hand. Like it's very rare. But also his pocket presence has been notoriously atrocious in the past. His pressure to sack, notoriously atrocious. Decision-making, notoriously atrocious. So let's see if he can let that bozo gene out when it's needed most, like Venom, right? The Marvel character Venom, like he's got to know when to let Venom out. So, yeah, we'll see about that. Next one though is Kentucky Ole Miss, and this one's got one of our guys that we've talked a lot about at this podcast with another pretty top another top 50 prospect in a wide receiver corner matchup. In we're talking about Trey Harris, fifth year player at Ole Miss, who has been dropping 200 yards almost, like at least he's been dropping 180 on the weekly right now.
only one wide receiver has more receiving yards than him so far through four games. Trey Harris is unbelievable, and he'll be going up against Maxwell Harrison from Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Kentucky's a team that really took it to Georgia, and that Georgia offense did not look very good against Kentucky. So it will be interesting to see, because Ole Miss has been putting up, yeah, like 50 points a game, and they played absolutely nobody so far. Mm-hmm. But let's see. Jackson Dart, interesting name in the 2025 quarterback class.
Which
we keep like adding names to the list, but adding names to the list like maybe.
Yeah, he's very firmly maybe. I think the difference between Dart and Cam Ward is that I think Dart's tools are very much in the average category, where Cam Ward's are, especially when we're talking about his arm talent, is very much in the A tier. So even if Jackson Dart does play really well, we'll still have those questions about, like, but does he have the arm talent? Does he have the lower half like tools to really become a top end NFL starter? But I am interested, because I fall in love with those day three quarterbacks, you know, the Jake Hayners, Spencer Rattler this year, who I thought was way better than some first round guys who got drafted in front of him as well. So I always love those kind of day three guys as well. There's always one every class that hangs around.
Going off, right?
Yeah, I know.
I wanted to see a little Spencer Rattler, maybe not as a rookie, but yeah, hopefully at some point we do get to see that.
And he's on the same team as Jake Haner too, who was another one of like my late round guys. So I was like, oh, I love Jake Haner. He drafted in the fifth round in 2023. Another gamer, absolutely gamer. Oh, I have one, by the way. We'll talk to him. We'll talk about when we get to the slate. I'll stop when we get there as well and talk about it. Cause I was watching a quarterback last night and I was like, this guy's got some Heineke to it, the way you said about Luke Altmyer. So I'm going to,
I'm excited to hear about it.
Yeah.
Minnesota, Michigan. Do we need to talk about this?
I do want to talk about Arianse Ursary versus Josiah Stewart and Derek Moore, those Michigan edge rushers. Ursary had a phenomenal game against Iowa. I don't know if you've watched it yet, but
I haven't yet.
I mean, he's 6'6", 330 pounds with unbelievable length. Like, his arms are at least 36 inches long. And they couldn't get into his chest. Like, there wasn't I could probably count on my hands the amount of times they got into his chest. He had a phenomenal game, snatch trapping like crazy. I mean, he had defenders on the ground at will in that game. So how does he hold up against Michigan now, a tougher trench team than Iowa, who has some good trench players as well? I don't want to disregard what Iowa has them, their defensive trenches, but how does Ursary
hold Michigan's up name power game? On the front four is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is indeed.
Oklahoma State and Kansas State. Kansas State got bullied by BYU. It was a weird, like game flow kind of game, because BYU, I think, had a punt return touchdown and a
fumble return as well. Yeah.
A fumble return as well. So like a weird game, but like still like 38-6. Not a great showing for Kansas State, who, you know, we thought Arizona might have a game against them, and they mollywopped Arizona. So what team are we going to get from Kansas State against Oklahoma State in this one?
Yeah, and that one's going to be more for a Big 12 landscape, for a college football landscape. You know, I can't sit here and name a single high-profile draft prospect that's going to play in this game. But the Big 12 is wide. It's the wild, wild west.
You can't? At running back?
Oh, Ollie Gordon, duh. Duh.
No, this is an important message. Ollie Gordon has been absent so far this year.
Yeah.
Completely and utterly absent so far this year. And so you should not feel bad whatsoever about forgetting that he is playing in this game, because when you look at the previews of this, it's DJ Giddens on the preview for rushing yards, because Ollie Gordon has been completely anonymous so far this year. Really unfortunate for a guy who I was very high on coming into the season.
Yeah, for sure. This next one is the one I want to stop at, not BYU Baylor. I don't think we need to talk about BYU Baylor. We might need to start talking about BYU in a little bit, but Baylor's down the dumps.
Baylor's bad.
I want to stop at this freaking Maryland IU game, because the Taylor Heinicke quarterback that I was talking about is starting for Maryland right now, and he has two draftable wide receivers that he's thrown the football to, and it's kind of fun. His name is Billy Edwards Jr., and he is kind of fun. He's 6'3", 220, doesn't have the biggest arm in the world, but he is smart. He knows when to get to his check. He has some lower half tools where he's tucking it and running in when he has to. He would come in relief for Tua on design or Talia for on design runs last year as well. He's kind of like a little spitfire back there, and he's listed 6'3", 220, so he's probably 6'1.5", 6'2", 215 probably, but so he doesn't have like the ideal body type. You'd like him a little bit bigger, but again, if we're talking about that day three quarterback that I'm going to fall in love with, Billy Edwards has the chance, and Curtis Rourke on the other side of the football might have a good chance too, because Cignetti has those boys freaking flying down the field, which is something that Bloomington, Indiana is not used to. Yeah. I mean, they're putting up like 50 points at will per game. It's a lot of fun right now. So that game has sneaky, like college football, chaotic, fun potential.
And Ohio, then Kalen, Ohio Kalen legend.
And Ohio legend. And his brother's an Ohio legend too, who Jacksonville's practice squad, CFL. He ripped up the CFL that one year.
Yep.
And now I think he's never going to leave a practice squad for as long as he wants to stay in the NFL, because he's already proven like I can at least hang on a practice squad, and you're still making 25 grand a week on a practice squad. So like, it's good money.
Not a bad gig.
Yeah. So, but that game has some chaotic fun. And again, Maryland has two draft eligible guys at wide receiver who are going to get drafted, and Kalen Prather and Ty Felton. Ty Felton's one of the best receivers in the nation right now, statistically. So that game's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
The next one, and I'm excited for this one because I just want to see if Louisville is for real. That offense is so interesting to me to watch. I mean, that team is very interesting for me to watch. And Notre Dame, I've talked about this ad nauseum, not on this podcast, but, you know, on things like Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. I love watching their defense. Outside of, like, the New Orleans Saints with Dennis Allen, I don't think there's a defense I enjoy watching more than Notre Dame's. The connection that they have in the secondary is unbelievable. Their two outside corners are playing their tails off so far this year. And I just love the way that they are coached, the linebackers, the way that they are coached in coverage. I mean, you're seeing guys who have to legitimately turn and run with slot guys and carry them up the seams. And the way that they are coached at the second level is so much fun for me. So very excited about this football game. Excited to see what happens with Notre Dame. 6-point favorites at home, but haven't looked great offensively so far this year.
Yeah, and Louisville's got some dynamic playmakers. They've got a redshirt freshman tight end who can absolutely run. He's a California kid who Louisville recruited, and I have a little bit of a Tyler Shuck fatigue at this point, but you know, he's playing probably his best football in like his sixth season in college football at this point now. But and they've got some playmakers on the outside of who can run too, so that will be a really fun game to watch.
The next one, I think we need to talk about here. I don't know. How do you feel about Michigan State so far?
Not great, but you're taking over a program that was way in the dumps. Mm-hmm. And I like Aiden Chiles, but he's one of those guys who's playing with his Bozo gene like fully out right now. And so that's kind of a bummer.
The first real football game for Ohio State. So
it is. It is indeed. So, I mean, that'll be a good test for Ohio State to see, like, how good are you? Good job blowing out Max Scholes and Marshall. But, like, and Michigan State shouldn't really be. I mean, they're 24-point favorites in this game. So, like, this game shouldn't be that close either. I mean, I think Michigan State lucked into the head coach they did because Oregon State got left out of a Power Four conference that he had no choice but to jump to a Power Four school that was hiring in Jonathan Smith, who had Oregon State playing some of their best football in years. But it's going to take some time for Michigan State to get back up. I think Mel Tucker loaded up on transfers that one year with Kenneth Walker. And then after that, it was like, oh, we have nobody left. So I'm not super high on Michigan State. And this shouldn't be a tough game for the Buckeyes.
Next game that we need to talk about, and I think we really only need to talk about this one for one particular matchup. This is IU Menor versus the brother of AJ Terrell, Avion Terrell, at Clemson, who I don't think he's draft eligible yet, right? He's only a true sophomore.
Let me look
that up. I believe he's only a true sophomore, but I could always be wrong. It says class sophomore. I think he is a true sophomore, yes.
Yeah.
So not draft eligible yet, but once he becomes draft eligible, from name alone, he will be seen as an NFL player. And I think he looked pretty good as a true freshman for them last year. Yeah. How does he look against, in my opinion, one of the best wide receivers in college football? That is the one thing that I'm going to be watching in that game. And just who is Clemson?
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
They've been playing pretty well now. They've kind of turned it on here. Yes. I mean, it was NC State and App State, but NC State had high hopes. I kind of faded NC State because I knew if you played Grayson McCall in anything other than the triple option, you're going to really find out what kind of quarterback he is. And they have. I'm pretty sure he exited the game last game. I'm pretty sure they're benching Grayson and Grayson McCall. Yeah. So that's cool. A sixth-year Grayson at this point. Yeah. But yeah, Elika Umanor in that game, did that Syracuse game, dude, that one-handed catch in the end zone.
He's a fun player.
He is indeed. Is indeed. Can I go back to one game that you kind of skipped over just for one matchup?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, Arkansas, Texas A&M. I came into the season with...
I almost brought that game up and then I passed on it. Yeah. But yeah, I understand why you want to bring that up.
I came into the season with Fernando Carmona as a top five tackle in this class. Again, we've had the emergence of Cam Williams, and those top four guys are like, I don't think they're moving. Like the top I had, I don't remember it was Connerly. So he could hop Connerly, because I don't think Connerly's been super, super great this season. But those top three, the two LSU guys and
the two Kelvin Texas. Banks
and the two Texas guys. So, but I think Carmona has held his own. Again, we haven't. I mean, they played Oklahoma State and Colin Oliver, but I think Colin Oliver injured that game as well. But Fernando Carmona has jumped up in level of competition and he's been playing well. He's going against Nick Scorton, Shamar Turner this week, though, at Texas A&M. So this will be a really big test for his draft stock. And if he is the player that I think he is in terms of a pass protector, I know he's kind of a waistbender in the run game. I know he kind of struggles with balance getting out of his stance and one like moving in the forward direction out of his stance. But as a pass protector, I think he's one of the best in the nation. So we'll see if that holds up this week against a guy that many had as the top rated edge in the class coming out of summer scouting. So
yep.
I'm excited for that one.
And big dudes at Texas A&M. So yeah, that will be a fun one. This is the big one though.
The big one.
Georgia, Alabama. I mean, throw a stone and you will hit an NFL draft prospect in this football game. So it doesn't matter. We could talk about this game for an entire podcast, but at the end of the day, we talked about it on two podcasts ago when we did Dafter Draft. We want to see Carson Beck elevate this offense.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to see Jalen Milroe against this defense. Those are the two things that we want to see more than anything else in this game, right?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. That's what we want to see as well. Also worth looking out for is I think Michael Williams is finally coming back for this game as well. He's been out since the Clemson game for Georgia, who others had as the highest rated edge prospect in the class. Alabama mm-hmm. has a true junior that is just now starting to get talked about off of the edge as well. His name is LT Overton, and he is a freak.
Of course he is.
He's number 22.
He's an Alabama edge rusher.
He's number 22. He is a freak. So LT Overton, and again, going back to, I want to see Carson Beck elevate this offense. I mean, the interior of that offensive line is good, right? Tate Ratledge, Fairchild, Jared Wilson. Those guys are good football players. I don't think their tackles are very good. And I know Ernest Green had some fans coming into the season. I think he's kind of short body type wise. I think he struggles along the outside shoulder. And then Xavier Truss, the right tackle, is a redshirt senior who I don't see a high-end player there with either. So, and then talking about the tight ends and wide receivers, he doesn't have Brock Bowers anymore. He doesn't have a lot of these high-profile wide receivers anymore. And that's where it really comes down to. Was Carson Beck a product of the players around him, or is he a player who was elevating that talent around him? And that's what we really want to see. And he's going to do it against a loaded Alabama defense. Again, I mentioned Overton, Jihad Campbell at linebacker, might be the best linebacker in the nation right now. And so this Alabama team has players everywhere on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, we talked about in the after draft, Jalen Milroe, man, let's find the deep cross, hit the deep cross. Ryan Williams, a 17-year-old phenom who is just exploding for them offensively. So this is not going to be an easy game for Georgia. So which Carson Beck are we going to see? Are we going to see the Clemson Carson Beck against a pretty good Clemson defense, or against the Tennessee, or like the Kentucky Carson Beck? So I really think that's probably going to be the difference maker in this game.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, like you said, I think when you look at Georgia, there are more holes with their football team than there have been in the past couple of years. And it's a team that obviously did not win the national championship last year. And we talked about, is it just them, you know, Ohio State and Texas, you know, kind of the top teams here heading into the college football playoff? And I don't know. I don't know where I'm at with Georgia. I don't know. I think Alabama is a team that, like, legitimately might not just beat them, but
they can beat them by two scores. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Expose Georgia, especially with how explosive Alabama can be offensively. I just don't think that Georgia can get there on offense from an explosiveness perspective. Mm-hmm. And so you really need to look at the defensive side of the ball and see, is Georgia going to be able to step it up on the defensive side of the ball and get enough stops?
Yeah. And what kind of quarterback is Jalen Milroe actually? Because again, he hasn't played Georgia's defense this year. Good job early season. His timer has been sped up significantly. He's been on time a lot more, and he's playing within structure a lot more. And he obviously, the tools with Jalen Milroe have never been a question. But again, like, you're playing Kirby Smart's defense now. You're playing these Georgia defenses that, again, NFL talent everywhere on that defensive side of the ball, and they're going to throw you a lot more disguises as well than what you see in these non-conference games as well. Like, schematically, how are your eyes going to handle what George is going to throw at you? So it's a huge game for both these quarterbacks. Game for both these quarterbacks.
Yep. And another thing Jalen Milroe has to worry about is Malachi Starks there in the middle of the field.
Yep.
That'll be fun. I love Malachi Starks. I've watched the tape. I love outstanding safety play, and that's exactly what you get from him. It's unbelievable. So very much fun there. Like you talked about earlier, Michael Williams coming back is going to be huge. And then you have your sawed off rusher.
Jalen Walker, dude. Well, so yeah,
it will be a fun football game to watch. Another fun football game to watch. And this is what we are going to end the podcast with here. Big Ten. Illinois, the surprise of the Big Ten so far, going up against Penn State, who I think is a pretender. You charted a little bit of Drew Aller and weren't as impressed. We're looking for the savior of the 25 class. He ain't it yet. It stinks because, like you have talked about in the past, the tools are definitely there for him. And somebody on the opposite side of that who doesn't have all of the tools in the world but is playing lights out right now is Luke Altmaier from Illinois. So
you're Taylor Heineke of the class.
My Taylor Heineke of the 25 class. But should be a fun game overall. I think Illinois, like we talked about in the last podcast, has an identity that Penn State doesn't really have. I mean, Penn State has the two running backs, and that's kind of their identity. And I know all of my buddies went to Penn State, and every single Saturday, it's the group chat going off and talking about, well, are they going to let Aller pass the ball? When are they going to let Aller pass the ball? Why aren't they letting Aller pass the ball? They have two really good running backs. Yeah. And so it will be interesting to see how they are able to move the football against an Illinois team that has been putting up some points. So
yeah, and they have been letting Aller throw the football this year. And it's been, I charted the West Virginia game, and I said, I'm not going to do any more until this guy at least does something in Big Ten play, because
let him declare.
As flashy as some of those throws were in that West Virginia game, like, oof, lots of bad misses. Lots of bad misses, lots of slow reaction time. So I'm not there with Drew Aller, which is unfortunate because, again, I'm a Northeast Ohio kid. He's a Northeast Ohio kid. A lot of people thought he was going to go to Ohio State. He didn't. He went to Penn State because Ohio State was late on his recruitment. He was a late four-star, five-star recruit. He was a three-star for most of his cycle. So he kind of flew under the radar for a lot of the time, but hasn't really panned out so far to what I think Penn State had expectations for. Again, we're 4 weeks into the season. That's what I want to reiterate. Like, we're 4 weeks into the season. Like, but good job on cooking Kent State. And even against Bowling Green was very uneven, very uneven. So something I'm going to be watching as well. Abdul Carter does not have a sack this season. Defensively for Penn State.
Yeah. Well, that, we talked about that. A lot of the edge rushers are not producing very much right now.
But specifically Abdul Carter against the opponents that Penn State's been playing.
Yeah.
Wyatt Millen at West Virginia dominated that matchup. And then he's played two MAC opponents and doesn't have a sack yet.
Yeah. Yep. Somebody from my neck of the woods, Bo Prabula, is the backup at Penn State, and he actually gets some snaps for them as well.
Yeah, he's like their change of pace running quarterback.
He is the change of pace running quarterback, and honestly, the offense might be better with him at times because it adds an element to the rushing attack, which they might have to lean on a little bit if Drew Aller can continue to be a little bit inconsistent as a passer. But yeah, he's a really fun athlete. But that's about it. Yeah. Just a little homerism right there for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it. Again, we've talked about Illinois. They've got an identity. Mm-hmm. They've got an identity. And that's something that I think James Franklin teams have lacked since, and he's been there for almost a decade now. And they still don't, like, I don't know if James Franklin knows what kind of football team he wants to coach.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of football team he wants his team to be. Because they are typically all flash and zero substance. So, once they get down in the stretch and in the tough games. So we'll see if Illinois is a contender, if Penn State's not a pretender, that'll be a fun one to keep an eye on.
Yes, it will. And that's the end of the slate. I don't think, do we have anything else that you want to talk about? Cause I think we're pretty good here.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it. I mean, I want to see some more Nussmeier cause I'm not 100% bought in or not even 50% bought in, but again, they're not playing anybody. Ashton Janti against Washington State, but again, yeah, maybe Arizona, Utah, that might be worth the watch, but yeah, it's the back end of the slate's pretty the West Coast watch, games.
But
he is, yeah.
But yeah, all right, that's it, guys. I hope you guys enjoy this college football slate because I know I am going to, and oh, it's gonna stink, but I might have to stay up and watch that Alabama Georgia game live. And for you guys that don't know, I am in Portugal, and that is a 7:30 start. So that means a midnight. That's a zero dark 30 start for me. And I am not raiding anybody's house with an M4. So that's all we got. Enjoy your Saturday. Enjoy college football. Corey, enjoy the college football on Saturday. I know you have two very, very small children. I have a very small child who I will be chasing around on Saturday as well. So we will try our best to get as many eyes as we can on the games, but we will be watching the tape when we have a chance afterwards.
Yeah. And especially because neither of us are enjoying football on Sundays at this point in the season either. So
Nope. Yeah. Can't enjoy it. I didn't even think the NFL was playing anymore.
Yeah.
Anyways, this has been Daft on Draft. I'm Dalton Miller. He is the fake Corey Kinnon. Until Tuesday, remember, I love you. Bye.